Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Slammed. I am Justin Turpin. I don't know where I am in the TD Garden, to be honest. I'm somewhere in the TD Garden. I think this used to be the visiting press conference room. That's now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can tell it's turned into like some fancy living room. Look, there's like a TV behind me. It's pretty sick. Nice. Pretty sick in here, but I'm pretty sure this used to be the old visiting press conference before they moved it. But I am joined by Esteban Bustillos, who is across the hall over there. He's in the actual visitors press conference room.
Yeah.
And
we're just trying to just keep away from each other so the mics don't interfere. But it is funny to have to be right across the hall. But yeah, so close, right behind that door.
He's right there. But we're here at the TD Garden reacting to Game 2. And yeah, Celtics dropped Game 2. Esteban, what were your immediate thoughts?
Yeah, so as everybody probably knows, Heat win Game 2, 111-101. It could not have been a more different game for the Celtics than they went Game 1. I mean, afterwards, you know, Chirp, you and I were talking. Sort of our big takeaway is like the Heat just don't have enough weapons without Jimmy Butler and or, you know, Terry Rozier, who also wasn't able to play. And it's the return of, you know, the term zombie Heat has been thrown around a lot about this team. This is they always find a way to just grit out at least some sort of crazy win. And this felt like that. You know, the two-man game between Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo was just impeccable tonight. Bam had another great night. Tyler Hero came back alive. The record 23 threes from Miami. About everything just went as good as you could ask for Miami tonight.
Yeah, and I like how you mentioned the record 23 threes. I mean, that's just insane. It set a franchise record, the most surrendered by the Celtics in postseason franchise history, and tied for third most in NBA history. And really, that's where the game was decided. And it's funny because that's where the Celtics won the game in Game 1. And now, turn the tables to Game 2, that's where the Heat win the game. And the big losers today, not necessarily the Celtics, because they still got at least five more games in the series, were the anti-three crowd, the guys that have been getting on Joe Mazzulla all season and hate that the 3-point is now such a key part of the game. But the reality is that's where the game is won or lost now. And we saw that right from the start, right from the first quarter, it was evident this game was going to be decided on the perimeter. When Miami comes out and hits eight 3-pointers in the first quarter, that tied their season high for any quarter, and right away you knew it was gonna be decided at the 3-point line. And you look at this game, it's like, is Miami really gonna shoot 53% every game? Like, it's just not sustainable. Yeah. And we were talking about it upstairs at halftime, where it's like, you know, is this sustainable? Like, is it even sustainable for the second half? Turns out it was. And when you look back on like the shots that they were getting, most of them were good looks. Like, you couldn't really tell. I rewatched the video the Miami Heat put out of like all their threes. In the moment, it really didn't look like they did that bad contesting them. When you look it back, it's like, wow, they really were slacking on the perimeter.
Yeah. So 53.5% from beyond the arc tonight for Miami, which is, again, just ludicrous. And it's funny because I remember last year having the same sort of thoughts of, oh, Miami can't keep shooting like this. And then they did. Obviously, that was a different team, a bit more loaded team from Miami. So I think legitimately probably this time around they can't keep doing this. But who knows? I mean, what do you think was sort of the key to their threes? I mean, one thing that we talked about was the Celtics really seemed to be selling out on stopping Tyler Hero from shooting. They were able to do that in the first game, made him essentially a non-factor. He finished with 20, but I noticed it a couple of times. I don't know if you saw the same thing where they would just send everybody, they would just send doubles on Hero outside. That would open up the rest of the floor for the rest of Miami shooters.
Right. They were keying that pick and roll with Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, which Joe Mazzulla talked about post game. It's lethal in itself, but you look at it, it's like most of these guys aren't renowned 3-point shooters. You know, you look at these guys, like look at the starting lineup tonight, like Hawkes, Jovic, Adebayo, Hero, Martin, like none of them are really like, all right, these guys can shoot the lights out from three. It's just, that's going to happen. Really is. Like they averaged, I think going into today, I think it was 12 and a half points per game or 12 and a half threes per game, excuse me, in the regular season. And they more than double that today. Like that's just, sometimes it's going to happen. And I think when you're the Celtics, it's like Joe Mazzulla is also very math oriented. When he looks at things, it's kind of like, all right, we're going to let the percentages talk. This is what, like, all right, we're going to let this guy shoot because this is what his percentages say. And they kind of, it's basketball math. And that's what Joe Mazzulla does a lot. And I think they were kind of counting on that a lot today. But when they are making those shots, there has to be some sort of adjustment. The problem was, is they were just so keen in on slowing down that pick and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think going to the Celtics a little bit, talking about what didn't really work for them. And probably one of the things that a lot of people are going to be talking about, Kristaps Porzingis, probably, I don't know, arguably the worst night he's had as a Celtic.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Six finished with 6 points, minus 32. This is not 1 for 9 from the field. This is not what this guy was brought in to do. And I don't think I expect this sort of performance from him going forward, but I mean, How shocking do you think is that stat line from him?
Yeah, it's not even necessarily that necessarily like shocked me the most. It was more his defense. Like, I don't think he matched the physicality as well as he did in game one. I thought that was a talking point in game one where like, all right, he held well against the physicality of Bam Adebayo. He didn't do that necessarily tonight. And now you look at it, like, I think they're also trying to force a lot to him. When the offense in all, so long, he's just been a safety valve for them all year. When the offense is stalling, just get it inside to him, get it to him around the nail and let him go to work. And they kept trying to do that. And he kept trying to go up with it. And it just wasn't working. Like, he was just not good tonight. Like, there's no way to put it. Yeah. Like, when you look at what the box score does not lie, he was a minus 32. Like, that is atrocious. That's very bad.
Yeah, and I guess the one of the things I noticed too tonight specifically is that they weren't able to stretch the floor. He specifically wasn't able to stretch the floor the way that we're sort of used to him. You know, going the inside game, the mid-range, outside. We're used to that progression and it being easy. A lot of it too, like, they're not just to Porzingis. The Celtics were having a lot of trouble getting the ball inside. Like, Miami's hands were just there a lot tonight. They got at least several turnovers when they were trying to get inside, either to Porzingis or somebody else down low in the post. And I think that's just like, Miami is obviously just going to try to key in on that, make the simple things really, really hard for this Boston team, who has been really good throughout the course of the season up until this point, doing the simple things, I think, for the most part. Those are the things that get overlooked and will win you games. And Miami just made that those regular normal things that Boston does super difficult for them tonight.
And those normal things you said, those small details, right? Those are, especially against an inferior team, you'd be hard pressed. And anyone that tells you there is not a talent gap between the Celtics and Heat is just straight out lying. There's a clear talent gap. You can't argue to the contrary. And when you're talking about the talent gap the Celtics have, along with the stakes right now, like, they are clearly the better team. You're in the postseason. All that stuff is magnified. When you're not doing those little things, you give these teams a chance to give life. And when you give these teams life, especially like Miami, like, these guys, like, they're like a cockroach. They will not die. Like, they just will not go away. They live forever. There's nothing you can do about that. And we're seeing that. Like, you give them life and they are going to make the most of it. Yeah. And that's just, that's the Heat way, I guess. That's like, I hate the term Heat culture, And like Jaylen Brown called it shenanigans, and that's probably what it's closer to shenanigans in the culture, but that's what it is. You give these guys a chance and you give them an inch, they're going to make it a mile.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a game that like you sit back and like define Heat culture with whatever that term means, it's this, you know, cause again, looking at the box score, looking at how the Heat performed as a whole, they had some really solid performances. Wow, that's something to go right home to your parents to, you know. Bam finished with 21. Tyler Hero had 24. Again, that was a big improvement from game one. Caleb Martin 21. But those are the leading scores. Nothing that is eye popping, but just everybody did their job so well tonight for Miami. You know, a lot of people are talking about. I've seen just on Twitter just the Jaime Jaquez overall, and then but specifically his defense. I mean, and just the guy that like. Miami does such a good job at getting those sort of guys who can do so many, again, little things really, really well. And I think that his game shines especially bright tonight on what he was able to do on both sides of the floor for a team that, as we mentioned, is really undermanned. Would he probably even be undermanned if Jimmy Butler, if Terry Rozier were even playing? But to have a guy like that who can just like, all right, go to the draft, pick up a person who fits our needs exactly. This is why Miami is still a dangerous team. And even Porzingis, after game one, is like, look, these guys, they're not just going to, you know, lay down and let us take it. Like, they're dangerous. And he admitted that. And I think, I don't know if Miami, I still think obviously Boston wins this series. But you, after tonight, I think you do have to take credibly the threat that they pose to steal another game or two and make this a long series for Boston.
And I think it's just, that's the playoffs. The playoffs are naturally competitive, like, especially right. Against a team like Miami. It's just, that's the nature of the beast. And I don't think it was a mindset thing for the Celtics. And I think when you look at the numbers, it doesn't lie. Like, Miami had a historic shooting night. That's what it is. And that's where the game was defined. And obviously Kristaps Porzingis struggling was a big part of that as well. But when team shoots 23 threes and makes 53%, I mean, they're probably not going to lose much in today's NBA. And that's just the reality of things. But when you're talking about the postseason, and like you said, like those little details, like, I don't think it was necessarily that bad by the Celtics. I think there was some attention to detail that wasn't necessarily there, like their closing out and their box outs or whatever, but like, I don't think it was that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one of the points I heard brought up a lot in the postgame press conference is the Celtics shooting only 32 threes, but you know, compared to Miami, not great in terms of total number, but they still hit 37.5% on most nights. 37.5% is pretty good. In the NBA.
Really good.
It just happens to come on the night where Miami hits the most threes in the history of their franchise in a playoff game. I sort of saw the same as that. There are obviously things that Boston needs to clean up. Turnovers being one, you know, Porzingis just figuring out whatever needs to be figured out to get him back into the normal shape that we see him in on a night in, night out basis. I know there's probably going to be some talk of like, oh, the Celtics are shook or they're, you know, they don't have the winning mentality. I don't think that's the case. I think it's like you said, Terp, they're just, it was the playoffs and, you know, pretty much everybody in the postgame conference said it, like, this happens, these sort of nights happen. And Mazzulla even was like, yeah, like, you can't go and expect there's going to just be, you know, you're going to go through a series without ups and downs. So one thing I did want to ask you, specifically with the bigs, you know, with a night where Porzingis struggled. I know Kornet is obviously injured, so he can't really be in the rotation right now. Would you expect to see a Tillman or even a Nemanja Šeketa come in at any point in these playoffs?
I don't. I mean, I think from the start, it was going to be an 8-man rotation. And I think we were just kind of people were talking about it, obviously, because you're trying to predict the rotations and stuff. But like, they were never going to go more than an 8-man rotation unless it's blowout minutes. The only one I can really see them going to, like, either Tillman or Brissett. I don't see Kornet fitting into the equation just because when they go with the double big, they like to go with Horford and Porzingis. So I just don't see it. If you're going to see anybody, I think it's O'Shea, Brissett, or like you said, Xavier Tillman. But I don't see any of those guys getting in unless it's a blowout. They are content with what they have right now. And I think when we're kind of talking about predicting the rotation like we were a couple weeks ago, it's more so like who comes in if there's an injury, like who's the depth piece. And for these guys, this is the eight, like this is what you're going to be looking at. And you look at it tonight, like there was less minutes for Pritchard. Like Pritchard had significantly more than Sam Hauser. And I thought Sam Hauser was great tonight. I thought they got to him a little bit later in the second half than they should have. He had a couple good looks there that typically you're going to fall. And that's just the kind of night it was for the Celtics. Like I thought their offense, they didn't play themselves offensively, but when Hauser was in there, I thought he generated some good looks on the perimeter like he usually does, but they didn't play themselves. They didn't play like themselves offensively. Yeah. And that's a direct correlation to their defense. Whereas you're not generating stops. They like to play in transition. And when you're not generating shots, when your opponent's shooting almost 50%, you don't get those you don't get those transition opportunities. And the Celtics are directly harmed by that. And Joe Mazzulla talks about it all the time, where there's a direct correlation between the offense and defense and the game is connected. And this really reiterated it, because how many times do you see the Celtics score 101 points this year? It's unheard of. They had one of the best efficiency wise. They had the best offense in NBA history and they were fully healthy tonight, 101 points, but that's what Miami does.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that the Heat strategy against not even just this particular Celtics team, it's been the strategy that they've had for a long time, is just make the games as muddy as possible. You know, that's pretty much their strategy against anyone. And especially now, again, when their big star and Butler can't play at the moment. And even if they were to advance, who knows when he would even be ready. They're just going to try to make things messy. And tonight it really worked. And again, I think you have to give credit to them there to what they were able to do specifically just in terms of shooting Tyler Hero. If he and Bam can keep playing the way they were able to play tonight, I mean, my goodness, not just the picks or the screens from Bam, but the dribble handoffs, Hero had a couple of really great passes inside on the pick and roll from to Adebayo. He really, to me, is stepping up now, at least in this game, as a playmaker. And that's sort of what they're going to need from him if they want to get another game from Boston.
And then we got Eastern Conference Finals Caleb Martin as well, and that doesn't help. And he was feeding off it today. Like there was a brief FU Caleb Martin chant coming from the balcony, and right away he responds. I think he had two threes in a row, and one of them was right in front of the Celtics bench, and he kind of flashed the three right in front of him. He feeds off that, and they have that, like, you know, we were talking about it the other day, where they don't necessarily have a dog in the sense that somebody that can take over a game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I think Bam can be that, but it's really tough to play through Bam because he can't really shoot from the perimeter. Like, you need, like, if you're going to take over and score, and he did, to Bam's credit, he scored, he's 4 for 5 in the final frame, and those were all contested. The two on Horford to begin the quarter, Horford could not play any better defense, and Bam's just going over him. And we were talking about it walking down. It's like when he's around the rim, man, it's just so tough to defend.
Yeah, that fadeaway he does in the paints is because he'll – it won't just be like, oh, he's just going to fade away. You know, he's like, he's going to back him down. He's going to faint left. He's going to spin right. He's going to go the other way, fade. It's almost a lost art, that sort of post presence like that. You don't see a lot of guys who have that sort of grace down low and instinct on when to shoot that mid-range shot like that, where essentially if you could do it right, and he did a lot tonight, it's almost unblockable. If you're as tall as Bam Adebayo, what are you going to do? And he kind of did the same thing in game one too. I mean, he was their leading scorer on Sunday as well. I don't know. How do you think Boston stops that? Or is it just try to slow it down?
Really? That's all Miami's got. Like, you're going to live with, on game one, they were letting Bam Adebayo take those contested mid-range. They were trying to keep him outside of the paint, make him settle for those mid-rangers, and it worked. What they're trying to do is trying to stay off that Tyler Hero pick and roll, and I think they were really keened in on that tonight because Miami, by the numbers, isn't necessarily a terrific three-point shooting team, especially when you look at the guys that are on the floor tonight. So they were really focused on stopping that pick and roll because that is their most effective form of offense right now, is running through Hero and Adebayo. Gabe Vincent last year, gone. another. See, you could tell there's like nightmares running back, especially with those green jerseys tonight. It felt like game seven all over again with those green jerseys, but that's what they're trying to run through. Like, the Celtics are going to let them, like we talked about earlier, they live by the numbers. So they're going to let you shoot. If it's a low percentage shot by your metrics, they're going to let you shoot it. And that's the way they play. And for the Heat right now, their best form of offense, their most efficient form of offense, is to run through Adebayo and Hero, and that's what they tried to do.
And it works. It works. So going forward, games 3 and 4 in Miami, game 3 Saturday, game 4 Monday, what are you looking for, Chirp, just in terms of what you want to see from the Celtics cleanup? I think the big thing for me, Porzingis is just going to have a better game. And I think he will, but to finish, single digits like that, again, 1 for 9, that's that just has to improve. And not just for against the Heat, if they want to have a chance at winning a title, which I think is the expectation for this team, is to be a title contender. He just has to have better consistent nights.
100%. And we haven't seen that from him at all this year. Yeah. And you look down the line, like we said, other than that Derek White 6-point stretch there in the fourth quarter, no one really played great outside of the Jays. That was really all they had going. But when you're looking ahead to game two, the biggest adjustments I'd want to see is them to get back to themselves offensively. I think defensively, like we said, this was a historic night shooting. They shot 53%, franchise record for three-pointers. We've been banging that drum all day. But offensively, that took them out of rhythm. And I think the connectivity there really messed them up. So I want to just see them get back to themselves offensively in game three. Play fast, like play your brand of basketball. 32 threes tonight. That's not the Celtics. That's just simply not the Celtics. It's funny because everyone's been saying they shoot too many threes. And then tonight it's like, where were the threes? Well, which one is it, right? Right. You want the threes because that's what brings them success. So I just want to see them get back to themselves in game three. And I don't think it should be a problem because, again, you look at this, it's like you chalk this up. And again, voodoo magic from the Heat, whatever it may be, but you chalk this up as a hot shooting night. That's what it was. I don't think Celtics, especially down the clutch, down the stretch, didn't necessarily execute great. But other than that, you hold a team to 111 points and they shot 49%, knocked down 23 threes. Is it really that bad?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I guess the broader criticism is just that, and I think a lot of people will have, is that you sort of expect the Celtics to be beyond this at this point. But again, it's like, it's the playoffs, and I don't think, even with a historic Celtics team, I don't think you can take wins for granted, which kind of feels like at times folks did, and thought that this Miami team would be the one that the Celtics would finally steamroll through. But I think it's, look, this is a true rivalry. These teams, these franchises don't like each other. Miami, especially given what they sort of hang their hat on as being this tough franchise, they were not just going to, you know, they were not just going to let Boston come in and control this series. So it is just as an observer. I don't know. You want to have the instinct of like, this is disappointing in the sense of that, like, this is again what you sort of expect from old Boston teams. But again, this is the playoffs against a really tough Miami team that I think is severely underrated.
100%. And like you said, this is the playoffs. I think coming into a series and expecting it to be a sweep is just not a good mentality to have, because so much has to go your way to win in the playoffs. Every possession matters. Every second matters. There's no insignificant second in the postseason. It's just the nature of the game. And that's what makes it so fun. And I think the Celtics understand that. The problem is I don't think others understand that, where you're seeing this team steamroll the 64 wins, and it's like, all right, everything's going to go their way. They're going to march their way to the finals. Like, they lost one game, and everyone's like, oh, this is back to the old Celtics. The only way I'd agree with that is in the sense that they couldn't execute down the stretch. By that point, though, was it really that close? I don't think it really was. So I think that, okay, I'll give you that argument. But other than that today, really, what was the old Celtics about this? They got torched on the perimeter. Like, you got beat on the three-point line, which is your forte. You got beat at your own game. How many times is that going to happen? I don't know.
Yeah. So I think my expectation personally is that, again, this is from three, you would hope a bit of aberration. But again, I do point to last year's Eastern Conference Finals, where I was saying the same thing, and Miami found a way to hit, to be very hot consistently from beyond there. But I don't think we see it happen like this consistently night to night. I think Boston does make adjustments. Obviously, Spo and his crew are going to make adjustments as well. And that's sort of the fun part of the chess match that we see in these seven-game series, or best of seven series, is just who can adjust better from night to night. It's going to be fun. I'm actually kind of glad, because we were talking about, like, and after the last game, how game one was kind of only really enjoyable if you were in there in person. If you're watching it from home, that's just a blowout win isn't necessarily the most fun. This is great. It feels like a series, which I think is that's the best sort of basketball.
And it's a wake-up call. It's a chess match. That's what the postseason is. It's going to be about adjustments. And for the Celtics, this is a wake-up call. Like, this is it. Like, welcome to the show. It's time to go. Espan, I'll get you out on this one. Does this change your idea for how long this series goes? How many games are you thinking after today?
I don't know if I honestly, even before game one, I sort of felt like five or six anyways. Game one may have sort of changed that, but after tonight, I'm sort of like, yeah, five or six seems realistic. I don't necessarily think Miami takes it to seven. Again, we're sort of assuming that Boston wins, which I think is still fair and safe to say. But yeah, I think it's, look, this is a team I always thought was gonna grit out at least one win. And now, you know, if they can do, I don't think they have to have as historic a night as they had tonight, but if they can do, again, some of those things just to get in the way of Boston doing the small things, I can see them winning another game in the series, no doubt.
I'm with you. I'm thinking five or six. I think everyone knew the Heat were going to make you work. And then when it comes, like, push comes to shove, everyone's like, why are you losing? Well, everyone knew the Heat were going to make you work. So, like, let's relax a little bit. I'm saying five or six. I don't see any way this goes seven, but I can definitely see them stealing one in Miami as well. And like you said, it just, do they have to shoot 50%? Is that what it's going to come down to? Because if that's the case, stuff. I don't know how confident I feel about that. Then, and if that's the case, I lean five. But if they can find other ways to win and kind of disrupt Kristaps Porzingis the way they did and disrupt the whole roster other than the Jays, I'll give them a chance. I'll give them six. But I still lean five in this series. And we'll be back here for game five. And that will be next Thursday? Wednesday, Thursday?
Wednesday.
I haven't looked that far ahead.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, man.
I go Sunday to Sunday. That's my schedule. Sunday to Sunday.
Before we go, shout out our fearless leader, Megan Adelini, who couldn't be here tonight.
Yes.
Recovered. She's DNP sickness. So hopefully we'll have her back soon. But I hope she feels, Megan, I hope you feel better soon.
Sources in Megan's camp tell me that we might have her as soon as the next episode, which will include a special guest. Yes. So stay tuned for that one. Again, I'm Justin Turpin. That's Esteban Bustillos. Thank you guys for tuning into Slam. Be sure to get us on the Odyssey app, like, review, subscribe, watch the show on YouTube. Give us a like and subscribe to EEI over there as well. And we will catch you with our special guest later this week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.